Herb Brooks is a household name in Minnesota and indeed all throughout the world. He has connections here even to our community. He lived for some time just near us in Birchwood Village. He's renowned. He's even somewhat of an icon. Maybe even some of you have sons or grandsons who are named after him. Why is he so renowned? Why does he have this household name in some of your homes? Well, on this day, 43 years ago, on February 22nd, 1980, Herb Brooks and the United States hockey team pulled off something that was inconceivable, and some might even say miraculous. A miracle on ice. It was the 1980 Olympics, and Herb Brooks and the U.S. hockey team, they weren't even slated to come close to beating the Soviets. But Herb has that famous speech right before the game, and he tells his team, if we play them 10 times, they might win 9, but not this game. Not tonight. Now, I might sound like a Herb Brooks expert here. I have to make a confession. You know, I think Lent's a good time for confession. This Kentucky boy, I didn't know who he was until I moved to Minnesota. But I've learned about him and the influence that he's had on the game of hockey and on our state and throughout our world. He's a household name because of what he did with that team, something that no one thought could be done to take down the Soviets in the Olympics. Now, there's a famous scene in the movie Miracle that is really one of my favorites. It comes kind of towards the middle. It's not when they win. The scene that's one of my favorites is when they lose. You might remember that scene when the team loses, they're skating off the ice with their heads down, and Herb looks to the assistant coach, and he says the words that no hockey player ever wants to hear his coach say, get a whistle. And he lines them up, and he does these line drills over and over, or rather, again and again and again. And he teaches the men on that team, I think, one thing: discipline. He's disciplining them. He's not punishing them, but he's teaching them. He's disciplining them. And in the movie, during that scene where they're skating back and forth, two of the lines that struck me the most. The first, he says, you think you can win on talent alone. Gentlemen, you don't have enough talent to win on talent alone. Again. And he makes them skate again. And then the second line that really hits me, he says, when you pull on that jersey, you represent yourself and your teammates. And the name on the front is a lot more important than the one on the back. Get that through your head. Again. Two inspirational remarks. The first, I think it shows us none of us is talented enough. None of us is strong enough. And the second, the ones we represent and the teams that we play for are more important than ourselves. I think two great lessons that we can learn from that scene. Now, I mentioned that a hockey player never wants to hear his coach say, get a whistle. But I think in a similar way, you never want to hear your pastor say, we're starting a campaign. I think it strikes fear into hearts, just like that whistle. We're starting a campaign. What does that mean? I think when you hear the word campaign, you first think of money. Huh? What's this going to cost me? What's Father got up his sleeve now? Is he going to build something else? Is he going to refurbish something else? What's this campaign about? But a campaign is more than money. A campaign's more than investment. The word campaign, it actually has more to do with military battles. And it's the word that I prayed in the opening of our Mass tonight, in our opening prayer. I said, grant, Lord, that as we begin with holy fasting, this campaign of Christian service, that we may take up battle against spiritual evils, and we may be armed with weapons of self-restraint. A campaign is an endeavor, and sometimes it's against all odds, like the U.S. versus the Soviets. But a campaign, it's worth doing, because the discipline it teaches us and the goal at the end is worth it. Now, when ancient armies used to go on campaigns and fight against other armies, they would go and fight under what was called a standard, a banner. It would have a symbol on it of their country or the side that they were fighting for, so that when they were in the midst of battle and they lost themselves and they didn't know where to turn, they could turn toward that standard. They looked for that banner. They looked for those who were on their team. And then they could continue to advance. Now, we don't have standards or banners or signs like this in our spiritual campaign. We don't wear jerseys so that we know in the world who's on our team. But we do certain things, I think, that are clues, these disciplines that we take on. Now, even the symbols that we use. Tonight, when you leave church, after you dismissed from our Holy Mass, each of you will be marked. You don't have a jersey on. There's no name on your chest or on your back. But each of you will have a cross inscribed on your forehead in ashes. That's why we come here tonight, right? We have to get those ashes. We have to get that symbol, that sign that unites me with everyone else on my team. And when I see that sign in the mirror on my own head, and when I see it on the one next to me, it reminds me I'm fighting for something bigger than myself. The reality of the cross, the reality of Christianity, it's bigger than me. It's a team sport. It's not something I can do individually. I don't have the talent alone for this campaign. And the name Christian that we bear it for the world to see. The world needs to see Christ in the midst of the storm. The world needs to see little Christs. That's what Christian means. The world needs to see Christians marching forth, bearing a reality that's beyond them, but one that they signify and one that they carry with heads held high. This is the campaign, brothers and sisters, that we begin tonight. We begin this journey, these 40 days, journeying with Jesus, journeying with one another. And in this campaign, I want to invite you to discipline. I want to invite you to keep practicing, to keep doing the things that make us Christians and that root us in our tradition and bind us with one another. Prayer, again. Fasting, again. Almsgiving, again. Repentance, again. These are the disciplines that we put on through this holy season of Lent. We know that we're not talented enough on our own, and we know that the name that we represent on our back is not as great as the one that we represent with our lives. The name of Jesus, the team of Christ, whom we march forth with, and recognizing it's not by my talent, it's not by my strength, it's not by my power alone, but by the ones I'm united with, and with Jesus as our head, because ultimately it's his grace, it's his timely help that makes us march forward in victory. That's what this season's all about. It's about the victory on the other side, the victory of Jesus that conquered death itself, the victory of Jesus risen from the grave. So brothers and sisters, let's do this. Let's do this together. Let's enter into this campaign of Christian discipline, of self-sacrifice, not just counting on ourselves, but counting on the ones next to us and counting on our Savior Jesus, who leads us forth in faith.